As the Prime Minister closes in on a deal with the Nationals on climate change, Prince Charles, as we've heard, has urged him to attend next month's Glasgow summit. He says the UN talks are the last chance saloon to save the planet.
The risks now are so great if you don't make the right move. I mean, it'll be catastrophic. It is already beginning to be catastrophic because nothing in nature can survive the stress that is created by these extremes of weather.
Prince Charles speaking on the BBC. David Crowe joins us from Canberra. Hi, David.
Morning, Fran.
Cabinet will meet tomorrow to endorse the Prime Minister's climate plan, higher 2030 target and also net zero emissions by 2050 following the hookup of the Nationals yesterday. It seems pretty clear Barnaby Joyce has managed to get the majority of his party room to agree to a deal with Scott Morrison on net zero by 2050. What are the Nats going to ask in return, though, for their constituents, for the farmers and the miners?
Well, we're going to go through the dance of the seven veils over the next couple of days, I think, with the Nationals sort of putting up a series of demands ahead of Parliament next week. And by the way, if you can hear bells in the background,
I was just going to say, what are the bells ringing for?
They're doing a practice run for the bells in Parliament House because they're getting ready for next week. And
right.
So I guess they're on high alert because it'll be a big week. The Nationals party room will meet early in the week. And they will have the chance to consider what comes out of Cabinet. So technically, the Nationals aren't going to be revealing their hand until after the party room is happy. But it's pretty clear from yesterday's meeting that the party room has backed Barnaby Joyce on the process he's taking. He actually said yesterday that he's seen a document which sets out some of this stuff. Other Cabinet ministers haven't seen it, and he can't show it to all the Nationals. So they're taking him on trust. Now, will he ask for something, billions more for inland rail, for farmers' compensation, for water, for regional support? Now, probably all of the above. But on things like farmers, they're talking about rewarding farmers more for improving biodiversity. So a payment for farmers for looking after the land. Now, some people might say, well, that's a payment for farmers to do things that they should be doing anyway. But it's a pretty hard negotiation. And I think the signals are that the government wants this. And Barnaby's in a position where he can demand a price.
Yeah, well, it's also possibly a payment for farmers to stay on the land even when the land is unviable because of climate change, to just keep sort of shepherding it. And Keith Pitt, I noticed last night on RN Drive, is still not backing away from his call for some kind of, you know, underwriting of the big miners, big fossil fuel producers, because the banks won't lend them.
He's an outlier in the debate because I think what we saw yesterday was a pretty disciplined response from most of the party room. Barnaby Joyce is very clear. He knows he can't get Keith Pitt on this, Matt Canavan on this, George Christensen on this, but he'll have enough support in the party room, I think, to reach a settlement next week when Parliament's on and then clearing the way for a new commitment ahead of Glasgow.
Interestingly, they're all Queenslanders holding out, so I wonder if that's sort of trying to play both constituents, if you like. If the Prime Minister can land a deal, do you think Scott Morrison is more likely to attend the UN talks in Glasgow? Prince Charles would love him too, but I'm sure that's not figuring high in his thoughts.
That Prince Charles comment was so intriguing, wasn't it? I mean, it highlights the international cost, or the cost to Scott Morrison among leaders, if he can't go to the G20 and go to Glasgow. I think it's looking more likely, but let's face it, there's been some dithering on this for quite a while now, and I can't call it one way or the other.
Okay. David, Labor's branch stacking scandal in Victoria has claimed a fourth state minister. The veteran federal Labor MP, though, Anthony Byrne, gave evidence yesterday. He kicked off the IBAC Anti-Corruption Commission about branch stacking and other things, evidence about hiring ghost staff and, you know, rigged party ballots. Is this likely to embroil Anthony Albanese, the state of things in Victoria?
Yes, he'll have to have a response on this kind of branch stacking. This is quite openly acknowledged in the hearing yesterday.
By one of his own federal MPs?
Yes, by a key federal MP. Now, this is not a front bencher, but Anthony Byrne's got a significant role. He's on the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security, so he's a senior figure.
Will he be able to stick around after giving this evidence that he was personally involved?
I think that he has prepared the way for this hearing very carefully. Anthony Byrne has made sure that he's got as much support as he can shore up in his own seat to protect himself, given he's taken on Adam Somurek in the Victorian division. But it does raise this question for Anthony Albanese about what he does to act on something that's acknowledged here, branch stacking in Victoria.
Okay, David, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
David Crowe is Chief Political Correspondent with the Nine Newspapers.